Praise God. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. That's all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He's here, church. Hallelujah. He's here to meet our needs according to His glory, according to His mighty power, according to His strength. We have no strength in ourselves. It is our God who gives us the power and the strength. He knows us. It is our God who says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come unto me, those of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Lay your yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We carry many heavy burdens, but God's burden is light. Isn't it wonderful we can talk to Him and pray and to give God all of our heart, all of our troubles, and He loves us so much. Oh, Lord, we thank You this afternoon, God, for the opportunity of being here in worship. We know Your presence is real among us, oh God. And we come to You this afternoon, Lord, for guidance, for strength, for encouragement. We come to You to hear Your truth. We come to hear to be ministered to, but not just that, Lord, but that maybe we can minister to You. God, we want You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength this afternoon. Lord, I can't do anything in my own strength. I'm just a man. But God, with Your anointing and Your blessings and Your strength, God, we are able to do exceedingly great and wonderful things this day because of who You are, because of what You've done, and what You are going to do. We love You this afternoon, God. Be with this service. Help me, Lord. I do need Your help. For I can do nothing without You. And I just pray that You would touch each and every one present, that we receive this day what we have already received this morning, and may it continue into this afternoon and throughout our week until we return again this Wednesday. I just pray, God, for strength and courage and understanding of Your Word. We need You, Jesus. And I like what my elder said and preached this morning. We need to cry out to help to God. We need to cry for that help. Because our help doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you take your Bibles in hand with you this afternoon? Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Go over to Matthew, please, chapter 14. The Lord has been dealing with me this past week. I was asked by Elder Lapp and the other elders to minister the Word of God this week, this Sunday. And all through the week, the Lord, I could not get away from the passage which we'll be reading. A few passages here in chapter 14 of Matthew and following that I couldn't get away from it all week. And when that happens to be, I know God is in it. And there was a few confirmations as well of His Word, which I was thankful for through Elder Lapp and some others. And I appreciate that. I appreciate when God confirms His Word. Because I know I'm on track with God. I want to be where God is. I want to walk where God walks. I want to do what God tells me to do. He is a good God. I want you to go with me to verse 22. Of chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him into the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. We could take heed to that, church. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. For the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is this a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Or you could say, as Elder Lapp said this morning, "Lord, help me." It doesn't do the word discredit to put either one of those words there. Help me and save me. Help me, save me, Lord. And then, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And they were coming to the ship, and the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Oh, of a truth thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Can you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
You may be seated. I won't keep you very long this afternoon, but I do want to make a couple points through the scriptures. And I want to talk about that call of God. When God calls us, when God commands us, when God instructs us, we as Christians need to heed the call.
Amen.
We need to respond to the call.
Yes.
I'm afraid today there is a lot of Christians who are not actively, how can I say it, Lord help me, involved with the call that God has given. We have more spectators than we have participators.
Right.
And that's a shame.
Yes.
When God, who has blessed us with innumerable blessings, we as God's people, as a matter of fact, Peter, if you'll turn over to Peter, 1 Peter, tells us in chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are told in 1 John that we are to walk in the light because God is light. We are told in Ephesians that we are to walk worthy in chapter 4, I believe it is, of the vocation wherein we are called. We are the chosen of God. And you say, "Well, Brother Cottle, why do you bring this scriptures? Why is this so important?" Because, first of all, this is a great manifestation of God's deity to His people, or to His disciples. To show His deity that He is who He is. He is God over all. Creation is His. God is God over the gravity. I mean, He stepped out on the water. God is walking on water. He defies gravity. Come on, church. He's defied it. But it's interesting, as we look into this, there has to be something here with these disciples. And I know we read in the story, well, they were troubled. Of course they were troubled. They thought they saw a spirit, some ghost, if you would, or some spiritual thing happening in front of them. Because why? Jesus defied all what is natural, what is for our understanding. Men don't walk on water. The reason said, "This can't be happening. Ah, something's going on here, you know." My reason, and a lot of times as we worship God in our services, we fail to get into the services because we tend to want to rationalize in our mind how things should be. It's got to be a certain way. It's got to be this way. If it isn't this way, well, I just can't get involved in that service or that worship. But I want us to see there's circumstances here that have evolved with the disciples that preceded the incident that Jesus here does before them walking on the sea. And that is, if you just go up a little bit further, you will find there that these disciples were involved in a marvelous miracle. And that was the feeding of 5,000 men and women plus children, actually. They just got through with the incident where they were there on the mountain. Jesus had all those of the people sat down. And He says, is there any meat for them to eat with? Oh, we don't have anything. Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What's that? To thousands of people. What is that? You know, reason again. Rationale of the disciples. This can't do nothing. Let's send them on their way that they can go home and buy bread and eat. But Jesus defies reason. Yes. And He says, bring it to me. He looks up to heaven. He asks God for blessing. God blesses it. He hands to His disciples. He says, you feed them. You get involved. You get active. You get serving. You participate in this. You be part of this miracle. Woo! Come on now. I'm gonna say something. When I was in Korea, I remember I was wanting the Holy Ghost so bad. Ooh, wait. You know, I was a Baptist boy, and I was getting changed over to the Church of God because that's where I was attending. But I called her Ma Humphrey. She was a head of the one of the Christian centers that was there, the Church of God Christian Center that was in Korea. And we would go to all the different places around Korea, ministering in the churches. And Pop Humphrey, he would do the preaching in the services. And I remember, boy, we'd go to all kinds of places and he'd preach. And I was so excited, and he'd speak in tongues. I'd say, what is that? I wish I had that, you know. And I remember we had a wonderful service one time, and the Koreans were coming up. They had lines. They were just coming in the lines, and He was praying for them, and they were falling out in the Spirit all over the place. And I sat there on that pew with my rationale starting to tick, my reasoning starting to say, I don't know about this. I don't know about this stuff. My former pastor told me that this stuff was of the devil. Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my former pastor, he told me to watch out for Pentecostal folk. But God kept me around them. Go figure, right? Well, I remember sitting there and everybody's getting blessed and I'm watching and I'm speculating and I'm judging them and I'm sitting there just, you know, in my rationale saying, I don't know about all this. It can't be true. You know how it is. Come on. Am I making sense here? Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. We begin to question everything in our minds. And all of a sudden I felt the elbow in my ribs. Boom. It was Ma Humphrey. Bam. She hit me. I said, yeah, what do you mean, Ma? She says, why aren't you out there? I said, what do you mean? She goes, let me tell you something, young man. She goes, when the power of God's present and the power of God's moving in a service, you better be up in the front where you can receive the glory of God.
Yeah. Right.
Now, y'all can say anything you want,
but
that was some of the smartest wisdom I've ever been given. Instead of sitting down, she says, Mike, you need to be actively involved. You need to get out. You need to step forward. You need to go and ask God what you need. Don't sit there and be a spectator. She told me, whoo, she blistered my hide. Well, I didn't go that night, but we went the next night. I missed my opportunity that night. You know, it was already over. But the next time the night came and the next time he preached and same thing happened, God moved. And let me tell you, I got up, got in line. Stepped out there in line. It was a long line. I thought, well, I got a little ways until I have to get up there. But boy, that line seemed to shrink quick. And I remember going up and I thought, oh, no, there's only about 3 people ahead of me now. It's amazing what the mind will do.
Amen.
We don't want, you know, we want the blessings of God, but we don't want to give in to the blessings of God. And I remember getting up there and I remember saying, Lord, you have to show me glory. You have to be real to me. You have to do what, if I see in front of me is what is real, prove it to me. You know, I asked God to prove it to me. Boy, you better be careful when you ask something to God to prove something to you. I went up. He laid hands on me. The next thing I know, I was out the rest of the service flat on the floor. Had to have two men pick me up and put me in a pew. I tried to get up. I remember I tried so hard. I said, get up, Mike. You look like a knucklehead. People are looking at you. I remember I was talking to myself down there. Get up. But I felt the blessings of God pushing me back down. I was trying to, oh, woo, that feels good, Lord. Praise God. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. I laid down there. I could not get up. Even Ma Humphrey said, Mike, you need to get on up. I can't. She got two brothers. They picked me up and set me down. I was like a, just as loose as I could be, sitting in a pew. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And it was because a wise lady told me, you need to get involved. You need to get involved. Don't be a spectator, be a participator when the glory of God comes down. Woo, I'll never forget it, church. And I encourage you, I encourage our church this afternoon, don't be a spectator. Be actively involved in your services. Don't let a few people do your praying for you. Do your own praying up there in the altar. Amen. Don't think, well, I'm going to receive the blessings of God because sister or brother so-and-so is praying up here. It'll flow back to me. No, it won't. You've got to make an effort. You've got to make a decision. You've got to step out by faith. God says, come unto me. Come unto me. Reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. Reminds me how she wedged her way through that crowd. A sickly woman. And I can imagine she got a few elbows in the mouth and a few elbows in the ribs on her way through to see Jesus. Because they were thronging Him. But it didn't squelch or quench her reliance to get to Jesus. She reached through, just touched the hem. If I could just touch the hem. That's the type of attention we need before God. If I can just get to God. If I could just get to Him. I know He'll help me. I know He'll meet my needs. And she did. What a wonderful thing. God stopped the procession. You know the story. Who touched me? Woo! She didn't want to say nothing. Because she's feeling good, you know. Woo! What do you mean? Oh, well, she got known. God knows who it is. Isn't it wonderful? God has such compassion upon us. God knows our need. But now, isn't it interesting after the... Now, notice, they fed 5,000 plus men and women... Actively involved in that ministry and that wonderful miracle. What a miracle. Can you imagine yourself feeding 5,000 people, the 12 disciples together, each of them with baskets, each of them with fish, some had bread. And man, they go across, they go to the row of 50. Here you go, here's a piece of, here's, my goodness, here's another piece. Here's, whoa! Hey, man, look at this! And it never diminishes.
Right.
It keeps coming.
Right.
Woo!
Right.
I guarantee you something. If it was me, I would have been one excited disciple. Come on now. Don't y'all get excited when God uses you?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you get excited when the Lord blesses you and all of a sudden you know that the Lord is using you in the ministry. He's using you and you are part of His work. You feel blessed. These 12 men, after they were through, I can see them all coming up to Jesus. 12 baskets full. Jesus says, go get what's left over. They come back with 12 baskets full. an abundance of fish and bread. God doesn't waste anything, you know. Brings it back to them. They see the miracle. They were participants of the miracle. They were not just observers of the miracle. They were so enthroned within that miracle. Now hear me. That I believe it puffed them up. When you say puffed them up. Hey. You become involved in such a miracle as feeding 5,000. Could be 20 plus thousand people were fed. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I guarantee you to puff you up. You'd feel proud. Boy, our God is good. Look what we were doing. Look what our God, look what our Messiah can do. And they were proud, I'm telling you. It got within them, I guarantee you. You say, well, how do you know? Because Jesus had to constrain them. That is, He had to make them get into a boat and leave the place. Go into Bethesda. I'll meet you there. You get out of this place because they were so caught up in the miracle. Woo! You say, oh, that's impossible. Oh, no. I guarantee you all of us would be just as caught up. Oh, yes, we would.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on. Yes, we would.
All right,
go ahead. We'd be saying, praise God. Jesus knew, we're told in Luke, Jesus knew the same story, that they were wanting to take Jesus and to make Him king now.
Right.
For that miracle. The people wanted to crown Him king, make Him Messiah. The king has come. Let's put Him on the throne right now. Jesus knew the intentions of their heart. The disciples didn't. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, whoo. All right. Let's do it, you know. He is the Messiah. Let's make it. I can just hear the conversations going on between them. Jesus made them get in the boat. Get in the boat. Get out there, get going, get away, and He dismissed the crowd. He sends them away. Only God could have done that. The disciples were caught up. They were ready to make Him king. Oh yeah. The disciples were ready to make Him king. What a glorious event. Now you get the picture. This is what they just went through. And then all of a sudden, there they are. It said, once Jesus departed away and went to pray with Himself, evening was already come. There He was alone in prayer, seeking God. Oh, the Father seeking His will. Hallelujah. He hasn't forgot about His disciples. Sometimes we think God has forgot about us. We think God is nowhere to be heard. God hasn't forgot. He knows where He sent them. He knows where He put them. And now that He is there, the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And it says, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was pretty rough out there among that sea. And so much that these men who are seasoned fishermen, men who aren't scared of a little wind when it comes up upon the lake, sometimes those winds come through that lake and they're pretty rough. But this was a little bit rougher than usual. This is one that got them a little bit fearful for their lives. Now, that's hard to imagine with seasoned sailors, or fishermen, not sailors, but fishermen as they were. They've been out on that lake who knows how many times. Who knows how many times in rough weather they've even fished out there. But it says they were there at the fourth watch. Now, what is the fourth watch? That's anywhere between 3 a.m. and 6 o'clock in the morning. Have you ever thought about that? 3 a.m., between 3 and 6 is the fourth watch. How long were they there feeding those people, Jesus ministering to them? How long were they there when Jesus finally excused them to go in the boat? Man, it's way past midnight. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the presence of God, we don't even know what time it is.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
We've had some services here. We get caught up in the presence of the Lord. And my wife will tell me sometimes, boy, man, time just flew, you know, because God's there.
That's right.
His presence is there.
Boy.
Now, I want you to get this understanding. These disciples were in the boat and they just weren't sitting there thinking, hey, you want to throw a rod in and catch a fish? Nah, that's not what they were talking about, folks. They were talking about their experience that they just had, feeding 5,000 plus men and women and children. They were talking to each other saying, boy, wasn't that wonderful? Oh, what our God can do. They were praising God. They were on such a high of what they have just experienced that they were so up there, you know, so spiritually at the pinnacle of their faith. And they're up there just exalting God probably and praising one another. I saw you, John. Yeah, I saw you, Peter. Woo! I saw you, Simon. I saw you, Nathaniel. And on they went. Praise God. Did you see those fish? Come on. I could hear the conversations. Didn't we do good? And then all of a sudden, the winds come. The storm gets rough. And they begin to fear for their very lives. And in the midst of that, Jesus comes walking to them on the sea. I believe it's in Luke, or it could be in John. I forget where it is. But it says Jesus was walking and would have kept on walking and would have passed them by. Sometimes the Lord tests us. I did not say tempt us. But God does have testings in our lives to see if we're going to be faithful, to see if we've grown, to encourage us, to strengthen us. James says that the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is precious to God. But Jesus comes and would have passed them by. And they're troubled and they're afraid because what? Oh, I see like it is a ghost out there. Isn't it amazing in our Christian walk that it seems to be when we're at our highest. It seems to be when we're at our pinnacle. It seems to be when the blessings are flowing. It seems to be when everything's right. Well, I think I heard it on the message this morning. I was listening to Pastor Woods in the message and he said, we put it on auto cruise. I believe that's the word he used. You know, in the car, we put it on auto cruise and we just cruise on through when everything's okay, when everything's right. And I listened to that this morning. I thought, we are just like that. We get a good service. We get excited with God. And we're up there. We're on our pinnacle. And we're just looking out thinking, woo-wee, I can whip the world. There ain't nothing can touch me. My God is great. My God. And we bless God and we honor God. And we're up there and we're still in that euphoria, as it were, in that glory of God. And we're just thanking the Lord and whoo-wee. And then all of a sudden, the devil comes. In the circumstances we heard this morning with Pastor Doug, he kind of blindsides us when we're not ready. Do any of y'all know what a clip is in football? When you're clipped. It's called a clipping. The person will run this way and they'll clip you from the side or from behind, hit you from the knees, and you're not ready for it. You know, that's a foul. That's something you don't do because you can get hurt from it. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. He comes at the time that we think we're okay and we're cruising through life and everything's fine. And all of a sudden, there's the clip that comes. There's the tackle of the devil, and we all, my, woe is me. What has happened to us? Why has this come about? With the disciples, it was the fear of their life. Pastor Lapp this morning brought out a few other ideas. It could be because of that of our disease that could come upon us, or we could lose our jobs, and it would bring fear into our lives. Or we have some incurable disease that we contact. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, you only have 3 months to live. Yeah. And that dreaded word, cancer, you have contacted. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what euphoria we have been in. We have been tumbled to the ground. Yes. We become in a state of despondency, a state of fear, a state of doubt. We begin to question everything. We begin to wonder, why me? Why me? Why me? And here the disciples together worried for their very lives and troubled because they thought they saw a spirit. But Jesus spake unto them. In the times that we need spiritual uplifting, we need to hear Jesus.
Amen.
I'm sorry, friends. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. But you cannot give me the uplifting that Jesus can.
Amen. Go ahead. You're right.
You cannot give me the joy and peace that Jesus can. You cannot give me the encouragement I need that Jesus can. In the times when I am down, in the times when I am lonely, in the times when I am fretting, when the times that fear has gripped me, when the times that I can't go anymore, I need to hear from God.
Amen.
Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Yes.
It is I. Be not afraid. Woo!
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to hear. If I was a disciple, that's what I would want to hear from my God at that time. Wow, praise the Lord. Oh, man, it's Jesus, y'all. I say y'all, I don't think they use the word y'all, but hey, fellas, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I can hear them. Can't you hear their discussion? Peter looking at me, hey, fellas, it's Jesus. That's Jesus out there walking. Wow, look at that, man. Our God not only feeds 5,000 people plus, but He can walk on water. Praise God. Woo! Glory. It's amazing to me. They were all in that little boat. But yet it was Peter. Now we can mock Peter all we want. We can say, Peter, man lack faith. We can say, Peter, a man who didn't look where he should have been looking. We can go ahead and get on him all we want and say, you know, if it was me, I'd have done better. Yeah. To be quite frank with you, we would have been the other 11 in the ship.
Right. You're right.
Now, y'all might not like to hear that. But Jesus is walking by and would have passed the ship. And it's Peter. This is, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come down and to come to you. Woo! Now hear what I'm about to say. Peter was one who had to engage his faith. Peter was one who had to get out and want to know that that's his God, that his God can do anything. Peter was the type of individual that was not going to wait for somebody else. I like that about Peter. Oh, we say, you know, he was cantankerous and, you know, he was whatever you want to say he was. But Peter was a man that wanted all that God has. He saw. And notice, this is where we have our trouble in our own services. There's a point when God says, come. That's what Jesus said. What did he not say? What did he say? Come. Whoa. Well, it wasn't that time that Peter sat down and back in the boat and said, wait a minute, let me rationalize this a minute. Let's see, I'm a man. Men don't walk on water. I know if I step out of this boat, you know I'm hitting the bottom. Look at that storm around me. My, that's lapping up in the ship and everything's gone to and fro. He's sitting there rocking. He wasn't sitting there thinking about those things at all. But we tend to do that in service.
Yeah.
We tend to sit back and rationalize. Is that what God wants me to do? The impossible?
No.
Is that what God wants me to do? To believe that when He says, come unto Him on the water, He meant it? Well, God couldn't have meant for me to really come on the water. Come on, you know. Guys, come on, you know. Hey, He looks back at the other 11. You know this ain't what God really means, right? He doesn't do that. The Bible says straightway. In other words, there was no hesitation. We in church, sometimes, if there's a gray area, when God tells us something, there's that area where we have to act by faith. And we have to respond by faith.
Yes.
And we have to go and do what God says, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Come, Peter. Straightway, man. No hesitation. Boom, getting out on the water. Here I come.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, church.
That's right.
No hesitation. I am, Peter was a participant in the miracle of Jesus again. Peter defied gravity. It wasn't anything Peter could do, but it was his faith in God and the Word of God who says, come unto me.
Yes.
Just come on to me.
Amen.
We miss out so many times on the blessings of God because of that little gray area. In the time that we need to respond to Jesus, we back off. And we say, I don't know. I don't know, Lord. I know you're God, but this is just too much for me. The times when some of us here in our church have had cancer. And we say, I don't know, God. I don't know if you're big enough to take care of this. Yet we trust God and we believe God and we do everything that we can as physically we can do, but we trust God with the spiritual man and our spiritual being. And God has healed some of us from cancer. Because when in that gray area, we wanted to doubt, we wanted to shrink back from God, we said, no, God is my healer. God is my deliverer. God is my source of strength. I will believe in Him. And we continued on. I appreciate that preaching this morning, church. God is our helper.
Yes, He is.
In the time of need, when we need Him, He's there. Whew. Brother mentioned we have been praying for Sister Woods. She's in our prayers a lot. And I know God's going to do a wonder and a miracle in her life. I believe that, church. I'm not giving up faith. I'm not giving up because I don't see it immediately. I'm not giving up because my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. He is sovereign over Sister Woods. He has her in the palm of His hand. To do with her whatsoever He pleases. But He calls the church to pray, and we've been doing that. Pastor Woods prayed and told us, he says, I'm not lacking faith. And I don't know. I know he doesn't lack faith. He says, I pray for my wife. You know? And we don't see immediately God's miracle working. And then once we don't see it immediately, we begin to, uh-oh, did we pray right? Did we seek long enough? We begin to start questioning. Peter didn't question. He straightway got out of the boat. He straightway walked on the water. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ and he was walking to his Lord. We must keep our eyes on God and not give up in hope. For the glory that God shall shine upon us. It may be a loss of our job. It may be sicknesses. It may be whatever thing knocks our feet out from under us. And while we were on that cruise control, now we're rolling on the highway. Lord help me. What do I do now? Jesus responds, come unto me. Come. I don't know the confusion that the disciples had at that time because of their fearfulness, but I do know there were 11 other men that saw Jesus walk on the water, but these 11 other men did not engage themselves in the miracle. What are you saying, Brother Cobb? What I'm saying is they had just as much opportunity. They had just as much They could have come to Jesus as well. They could have all jumped out of the boat. They could have all walked to Jesus. But they didn't. Peter was the only one that engaged himself, listen, in the miracle. The others sat back and watched. The others sat back and with awe. Oh, I would have. I said, whoa, there's Brother Al walking to Jesus. Man, look at what God can do. But I'm not walking to Jesus. I'm not walking on the water. Peter is. Now, Peter gets afraid. Why? Well, we know. The troubles of the storm. He looks away from Jesus. He takes his eyes off the Master. You've heard it before. He begins to look at the storm. He begins to look at the circumstance and the situation. And what does it do? It takes his hope away. It takes his love away. He's again gripped with fear. Listen, the perfect love of God casteth out fear, church. When we are in perfect love with God, fear will not bother us. When we're able to be settled in Jesus Christ and know in whom we have believed in, that He's able to do all things, we're not going to be fearful when God tells us to do something. Fear cripples us. Fear enchains us. Fear is a captor. We've heard that from Pastor Doug this morning. We must not allow ourselves to be contained by fear. Peter looks. We know what happens. He begins to sink. A good lesson for Peter, amen? And for all of us. He reaches out and says, Lord, save me. Save me. Save me. Save me. Don't think that we can get to such a position with God that nothing will ever bother us. Don't think that we can get to such a position in Christ and we can have such high services that we can't be knocked out from under our feet. Don't think that you are above trials. Don't think that you're above temptations. Don't think that you're above these things because Christ knows that we are but frail. Peter, though he acted in faith and responded to that faith, was a man still who needed to overcome his fears, his doubts, his questioning, looking around. Oh, what am I doing? I can't be doing this. It's not natural. Some of us want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And we come up, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I can't speak in tongues. This ain't natural. What? I feel something coming on. I feel something welling within me. Hey, this ain't natural. And all of a sudden it comes up through our throat and whoo, then it comes out our mouth. And then we're really wondering, if you've ever been filled for the first time, what in the world's going on? But it's the most natural thing that there is. Amen. I believe God wants to fill every person with the power of the Spirit. We need that power. Peter understood he needed to keep his eyes focused on Jesus. In your storm and in your troubles and in your trials, where do you keep your eyes focused? On the storm, on the trial, on the situation, on the sickness, on the heartaches? Or do you keep your eyes focused upon the one who is able to secure you and to keep you from all harm? The one who walks with you. Notice, he reached down and grabbed Peter and pulled him up. And what did they do? They walked together back to the ship. Praise God, church. He didn't say, why you? What is wrong with you, Peter? I've tried and tried with you, but you just don't get it, do you? You just don't get... No. He walks with him. He loves Peter. He walks with him, brothers and sisters, back to the ship. They get into the boat. And when they get into the boat, guess what happens? Another miracle takes place. We don't read it here in Matthew, but I believe it's over in John or Luke, one of them. The same story, we're given another aspect of the story that we are not given in Matthew. When they get back into the boat, guess what happens to the boat? Immediately, it's at the land where it's supposed to be. Woo! Another miracle! My. We fed 5,000. Oh, man. Saw Jesus walking on water. And whoa, wow. The storm ended and I'm back. I'm on the land where I'm supposed to be. Right. What a God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
What do I say? Oh, Jesus cares about you and your situation. Yeah. Jesus knows where you are.
Yes, he does.
In your situation. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants you to cry out, Brother Lapp, as he said, help me, Lord. Some of us have need to cry out. Some of us are already stepping out of the boat.
Come on.
Praise God. We're stepping out of the boat. I tell you. Brother Knox is stepping out of the boat. Woo! You say, what do you mean? He's running around the church, folks.
Yes, he is. Amen.
As frail as my brother is. Makes me feel kind of silly sitting there. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sick. I mean, I got healthy legs and feet. What's wrong with me running right behind him? Well, you know, just let Brother Knox go. Y'all be careful. You know, don't worry about him. Just let him go. I'm telling you, he's stepping out of the boat.
Yes, he is.
And he's crying for help. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
And God is with him every step of the way that he goes around this church and praises God. I tell you, when he passes by me, I want to jump out myself. Hallelujah. Shame on me. I should.
That's right.
Amen. Engage yourself in God's work.
Yeah.
If I have said anything to you for encouragement this afternoon, let it be that. God is looking for you to engage. He's looking for you to cry out for help. He's looking for you to come unto Him. He's not looking for you to sit idle, to be still, to be on autopilot. He knows that you have need to become actively involved in His ministry. If you're not actively involved in the ministry of Christ, you say, well, brother, I'm not a preacher. Brother, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Did God call everybody to be a preacher? Did God call everybody to be a Sunday school teacher? Well, what can I do? I'll tell you what you can do most and foremost, and that is pray. You can become one of the greatest prayer warriors this church has ever seen if you'll put your faith forward in God and come to these altars and seek God with all your heart, not feel restricted in knowing that God is going to bless you and keep you in His will. You can be a servant to God by helping others. You think, well, I don't want to help. Well, then you don't want to be a Christian. The gift of helps is one of the greatest gifts you can be given. Helping one another. Loving one another. Serving one another. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I've come to serve my brothers. There are many things and we must seek God. God, what have you called me here in this church for? God has not called us, and I'll tell you this, to be idle. God has not called us to sit still. God has not called us to not get in the fight. We are in a fight. We must labor and toil in this kingdom of God. For the righteous will take it by violence. Let me tell you, there's a war on and the devil wants to destroy us. Will we sit idle in church? He's won. He's won. We sit back and say, well, that brother can do everything. The devil's not even worried about you back there. Hear me.
Come on.
He's already got you. Your mind's already settled. He's worried about these people up here that are running around praising God, glorifying His name, in the middle of the blessings of God. The devil's worried about them.
Right.
Because they're active. They're involved in God's work.
Yes.
This year, I believe it's going to be a great year, Pastor. I really do. I believe it's going to be a great year for us in this church. I'm looking for it. Y'all don't know how much my wife and I and my family, Michael and Shamin and our children, grandchildren, we want to get up here. We want to be a part of a church that is engaged. You hear what I'm saying? In the fight.
Yeah.
If I'm not engaged in the fight, I got to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's right.
We must engage ourselves. Let's be like Peter. Okay, so we may sometimes, it may happen, I don't know. We may lose a little faith. We have a little fear. But when we look at Peter and we see what he did, it gives me encouragement to know that, hey, I'm a man just like he is. And if God will bless him, He'll bless me. We need to take encouragement of these folks in Scripture. We need to take encouragement. I think y'all had a Bible study with Abraham this morning. Am I right? I've heard him mentioned today about Abraham. Woo! A man who engaged his faith in God. A man who took his own son Isaac because God says, offer him unto me as a sacrifice. And he says, yes, Lord. He didn't question God. He didn't rebuke God. He says, okay, Isaac, in the morning, here we go. Saddles his donkey, gets the wood, takes his son, got his knife. Let's go. Up to the mount. Hey, Papa. Yes, son. I see the wood. I see the knife. I know we're going to go offer sacrifice, but I don't see the sacrifice. God shall provide. He engaged his faith. And we know the story. The knife ready to come down, he binds Isaac, and the knife ready to come down upon him. God stopped him. Now I know you love me more than anything. Provides the ram in the thicket. Sacrifices the rest. I'm telling you, God, we need to be men and women engaged in the fight.
Yes.
We need to be like Rahab.
Come on.
Rahab engaged in the fight. Hid the spies that came to Jericho. Herself, not a real true believer in God, but she knew what God was doing. And she knew what God was doing to the people of Jericho. Fear was upon them all. And she knew about the God of Abraham. And she knew about how this God was going to destroy Jericho. And she engaged her faith and she hid the spies by faith. And she says, if you'll do this for me, you know, I will hide you. But remember me. Don't destroy me or my family. I've done you good. And God saves her. We know the scarlet cord that comes out her window was a sign that they were not to touch that family. God crumbles the city, and she and her family are spared. Engaging in the faith of God. Amen, church. Amen. We need to be like Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan engaged in the fight. He said, come with me, armor bearer. Let's go to the camp of the Philistines. Let's do a little battle. So what do? They don't go in the easy way. They climb up a steep cliff to get to the Philistines. Sometimes we look for the easy way instead of the hard ways. Make it smooth for us, Lord, not rough. But there Jonathan and his armor bearer get up there. Praise God. God is with them. And they slew within 2 acres, I think it was, the Scripture says, 20 some men, two of them, taking care of them. God was with them. Why? They engaged in the battle.
Oh, yes.
They engaged in the battle. We are a chosen generation.
Yes.
A royal priesthood.
Right.
a holy people. Yeah. Who have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Yes.
To show forth God's glory and His power.
Yes, Jesus.
There's nothing that God will not do with us. When we will engage in this fight for the faith that has been handed down to us, God will be with us.
Right.
I ask you, in closing, are you ready to engage? Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to say, when circumstances don't avail themselves to me, I'm still going to trust God. I'm going to call for help. I'm going to call for help. I'm going to ask God, God, here I am. I'm not going to sit idle. No, sir. Not when the principalities and powers and wickedness in high places are assaulting us. We are going to fight. It's not a time to sit idle.
No.
It's not a time to put on the cruise control like it is in a car. And I think it was Brother Woods in the message this morning says, you don't put on the cruise control when you're going down the West Virginia mountains. Crazy, isn't it? Who'd put on cruise control going around a mountain? Well, I'll put it on 60 and just hit that cruise. Who cares about that curve coming up? You know, it's over. Sometimes we have to engage, let off the cruise, and go around those sharp curves. We have to slow down. Sometimes we speed up. Same it is with us as Christians. We must fight. Sometimes we go just as strong as we can. Other times we back up and we pray and we seek God more and more. It's a constant engaging of the enemy. There is no time to sit idle. There is no time to relax. I'm sorry, you're not even going to relax in heaven. So don't think, oh, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to relax. No, you're going to be busy. You're going to be working in the kingdom.
Yes.
You're going to be about God's work.
Right.
You're not going to sit idle. It's not all roses. It's not all playtime. No, 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 no. You're going to be workers in His kingdom. He's preparing us now for His kingdom.
Right.
Don't be, and I'm not saying this to put any of the disciples down. Believe me, they all have my admiration. But those men, only one engaged in the miracle. They could have all engaged in it. They could have said, move over, Peter, I'm going too. Stepped out. Would you get out of the way, John? Let me through. I see Jesus. Don't allow your reasonings to come and blur what God wants from you. I don't know how better else to say it. We sometimes reason so much that we skip out on the blessing. Don't think it has to be a certain way. Do you know the wonderful thing about Jesus? Is He didn't just heal the same way all the time. Sometimes He stuck His fingers in somebody's ears, you know, so they could hear. Other times He put spit in His hand, got a little clay mud, wiped it in His hand, rubbed it on the eyes of a person. Go wash in the pool of Bethesda. He went and washed and He could see. Jesus didn't do the same miracles all the time. I think there's a point to that. Because if we saw the same thing all the time, we would tend to pray that same way all the time. It's like the children of Israel. If you remember when they were bitten by snakes because of their sins, and God poured out snakes upon them, and they sold them to priest Aaron. Go make a rod. You know, that rod, and put and when they see the rod that is up there before them, those who look upon it, they shall be saved from their bites, you know. Well, many looked, many got saved, but many didn't. Many wouldn't believe, oh, what could that do? That's just a pole up there. I know what Moses says, and I know what Aaron's doing, but that's just a pole. That can't do anything for me. They started to reason instead of believing God. We must believe God. No matter if reason tells us, oh, they can't happen. Believe God. It will become a curse to Israel later on in their history because it will be known as the Nehushtan. And it will become something that will be worshipped. It will be idolized and worshipped as a god to them in Israel. The Nehushtan. We must be careful never to allow anything to take the worship of Christ.
That's right.
Stand with me this afternoon. I thank you for your patience. I hope that this afternoon you have a more fervency to want to get engaged in the battle. To be actively involved in the miracles of Christ. To cry out for help when it is needed. Peter cried out for help because it was needed. Lord, save me, he says. Save me. I'm sinking. I'm going to die, he thought. Save me. God knows our frailties, church. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our shortcomings. He knows us. He's made us. And He has brought us together as a group of Christians, a group of people, stone upon stone in this church. And He's building us. He's molding us. He's framing us. We are a beautiful people. We are a royal priesthood.
Right. Amen.
We've been called out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I'm called out.
Right. Amen.
I'm glad that God looked down. See, I didn't save myself. God saved me.
Right.
You didn't save yourself. God saw you in your need. And came to you. Just as God came to Peter. His love and compassion for Peter lifted him up. And they walked back to the ship together. There'll be more lessons for you, Peter. I'm not done with you yet. Just as it is with us, there's more lessons for us to learn. God's not done with us. No, sir. There's more victories to be won, Brother Hooten. There's more battles to be fought. And I, for one, am glad that we've got the eldership in this church that we've got.
Yes.
I'm thankful for Brother Woods. I'm thankful for Brother Lapp. I'm thankful for Brother Emery. These men of God, these elders, they preach the Word of God.
Yes.
They encourage us. They strengthen us.
Right.
And they guide us to where God wants us to be.
Yes.
I believe these are men that seek God with all their heart. You see, the disciples could follow Jesus because they trusted Jesus. I can follow these three men because they've proven to me they can be trusted. And they tell me, Mike, engage with me. Brother Cottle, get in the fight with me. Don't sit back. There are souls to save. There are men and women who need Christ. There are battles, that strongholds that need to come down. Engage with these elders of the church. This is the year, church. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the future right away. What we have is right now. What are we doing right now? How are you going to respond to God right now? Where do you want to be right now? If the fight, now hear me, and I say this with all, well, the elders will rebuke me if I'm wrong in saying this, and I'll take the rebuke. But if we're not ready to engage and get in the fight, then why are you here?
Come on.
We are a living body. A living body.
Yes.
And the body must function together. Body must actively function itself together. When one doesn't participate, it hurts the body. Right? If my leg didn't want to work today, I'm in trouble. Because my other body says, come on, I got to go to work. Leg, move. I ain't doing it. We can't have that.
No.
You can't have that. Can the eyes say today, I'm not going to see for you? Eyelids say, I'm going to close them. That's all you get. What? That can't happen.
Right.
We must actively, as our body works together in unison, so must we work together in unison. Paul would say it this way, work in one accord, in one mind, in one spirit. Be actively involved. Engage brothers and sisters in the fight. And watch the power of God reside as you have never seen Him reside in your life before. How many of you have been personally involved in winning someone to the Lord? You don't have to raise your hand. How many has actually won someone to the Lord? If you have, you know the feeling. If you have, you know what joy that brought to your life. If you saw the person change before you, that once was a sinner, now he's a saint. It's nothing you've done, you just shared the word. And he changed. God saved him. There's nothing more glorious. There's no feeling that can come to you that you've done something for God more great than to be part of someone's salvation. There's a world that's lost. And I think this church has a responsibility to see to the lost world. We must obey the Great Commission. We must engage in it. Go into all the world, Jesus says. We need to teach men of Jesus. Oh, boy. Well, Lord, You know us. I love You and I love these people, my brothers and my sisters. And I thank You for them this day. I thank You for their loving You and their encouragement that I've received from them today. I know that this group that we have here together, many of us from different backgrounds and different stations in life, but You have brought us together here in Washington. You have put us together in such harmony. I see such grace and such truth being poured forth to us, Lord, from You. We hear from You. You have excited our lives, and we are just in awe of Your presence day in and day out. And Lord, we just thank You for all that You're doing in our lives. But God, we're not satisfied. We want more. We want more. We want more, God. And we need help. We need Your help. We need You to come alongside us. We need You to encourage us. We need You to lift us up when we fall. We need You to just embolden us when we need emboldening. We need You to fill us in the Spirit day in and day out. We need to walk in the Spirit that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to be spiritual-minded people, not carnally-minded people. Help us, Lord, to engage in the fight that we will be victorious. Not because of who we are, but because of who You are. In what You have done, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation to bring praise and glory to our God. Would you just bow your heads and pray? Heavenly Father, I ask You to be with each of our brothers and sisters as we engage in the fight that is before us. Dear God, that we would not be so rational-minded and trying to think out everything, as it were, God, but by take you by faith and believe God when you said it, your word is true. We're going to believe it. We're going to walk in it. We're not going to be skeptical. We're not going to doubt. We're going to believe God, and we're going to hope in you, God, and we're going to call upon you, God. We're going to engage ourselves in this fight that we may have the spiritual liberty that we need. If we have been lax or if we have been lazy in this fight, God, forgive us. Lord, just lift us up from this lethargyness that we may have in our lives, that we just are so idle. That God, we don't want to be idle. We want to be participators in the glory of God. Hallelujah. We want to reach out and to touch others, to minister to others. We want to help others. We want to be a blessing to all, God. We want this church, Lord, to be a light that is lit here in this community, that all that see it will come and will bless, and you will bless them, God. We want this to be a place where men and women who are lost and undone in Christ can receive the light of the gospel and the truth of God and be changed from their evil ways to the ways of God. Help us to engage. Help us to engage, God. Let us not sit back idle, but to engage and fight, as the Apostle Paul says, the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. God bless y'all.